Next on BYUSN, the QB race continues. When should BYU whittle it down and figure out who the guy is? ESPN put all 136 FBS teams in tiers. Where did they put BYU, and do we agree with it?
BYU safeties Raider Jamuni and Talon Avery joined the program and took the dip at the safety room. Could it be the deepest position on the roster? Plus, our Deep Blue segment features Haley Dixon on how she overcame adversity to be part of the sport that she loves.
A compelling story coming up on Dixon. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Great to have you with us. It is Friday, August 8th. I'm Jerem Jordan, alongside a man who is huge in the eyes of Little League baseball players, Brian Logan.
You know, when I first heard this joke, I was laughing, but then I realized that Little League baseball players are taller than me.
Some might be.
They literally are taller than me.
Because what's your legal height?
I'm 5'6".
Depending
on what leg I stand on. I'm 5'6".
Gotcha.
Or 5'5 and a half.
So NFL combine size, you would...
I'm 5'5
and a half. You would somehow cheat it into 5'7".
I'm 5'5 and a half.
But your listed height at BYU was 5'9"?
No, 5'6".
Oh, you were 5'6"?
Yeah.
I thought it was 5'9".
No. So...
You were true to the height.
Yeah,
to the blue.
That was Bronco. I was mad because junior college, I was 5'9". Right, I was 5'9".
Bronco wanted you to be completely honest.
He wanted
consider me shocked.
I said, Bronco, you can't give me a couple inches? And then he stopped and looked at me and said, do you want me to lie? And I said, okay.
One time I tried to take the elevator up to the second floor here with Bronco, and he's like, no, we're taking the stairs. Like, okay, man. He is all about it.
He is
all about it. And so are we as fall camp continues. We got lots to talk about. So all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. Who will help us win the most? The Cahill said book lights out. Tracy Borgia was unbelievable. Bear Bachmeyer, very well, could be the guy. I can't wait to watch it. Who is the guy? Who's the guy? Training camp continues for BYU football team today, day 10, specifically with a close scrimmage coming up tomorrow. The three-way quarterback race continues. McKay Hillstead, Trayson Borgia, Bear Bachmeyer, as mentioned, splitting reps as to who the starter should be. Last week, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick detailed why it'll take some time to figure out who QB1 is.
There's no deadline, but the sooner the better. You know, I mean, I would prefer not to be naming a starter on game day, you know, but you have to let it play out a little bit too. If you rush it, then you can create some other issues as well. So we need to let them compete for a little while. I know you guys are going to keep asking me every time, but I have to let them compete for a little while so we gather enough information to make a good decision.
What is a little while? Brian, when should BYU name a starter, at least internally? Because the expectation is they won't announce it externally. We'll just see that guy run out on game day.
Yeah, I think yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesteryear, yeah. It's tough. I think as long as they have put each quarterback in, I would say, game time situations. And
define that in practice. What does that look like?
A team situation is like first team defense versus second team offense, right? And it could be situational. So it could be third and long, third and short. It could be goal line, red zone, whatever the case is.
11 on 11, full pads.
11 on 11, full pads.
There's a rush. They're not tackling that guy, but...
They should tackle.
Not the quarterback, though.
And then, obviously, like you said, the scrimmage tomorrow, being in the stadium, so... Getting the guys in game, like, not only situations, like, situationally on the field, but also environment and atmosphere is right as well. Because there's players that are practice players. We call them, the All-American, you know.
There's right. One that just came to mind. First I'm going to keep that to myself.
First team, All-American, you know, practice players. But then there's also gamers. Like me, I was a gamer. I was never a practice guy. I remember... The last scrimmage that we had, I was third on the depth chart, right? Going into 09, I was third on the depth chart.
Into
the Oklahoma game. And I remember I got a call from my trainer, and he was like, yo, congratulations. I'm like, congratulations what? And he goes, Bronco just named you the starter. And I was shocked. I had no idea. Then my mom called. Right when I was on the phone.
When mom calls, you know it's real.
I was like, coach, let me call you back. And she goes, I'm so proud of you. So when I went back and was talking to my trainer about it, he said, Bronco said that you were the most game ready out of everybody. Mm. But during, you know, practice reps and certain situations where it's individuals or 7-on-7, I was getting cooked. Like my skin, you know what I mean? Like, but when I got into that stadium or when I got into those game-like situations, I just turned it on. I was a whole nother player. And so at the end of the day, that's what you want. And that's what I mean by that is making sure that they have enough film on these guys in these situations, but making sure it's even. Because what also hurt me, why I stayed third on the depth chart for so long, is because I was going with the threes, right? Like having Andrew Rich, the first team safety, and Jordan Pendleton, right? Absolute phenomenal guys. It made my life easy. When I got it in with the third string, everybody sucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was horrible.
Was it good to say?
And on top of that, how we had it structured, which I know they're not gonna do this now, but first team got 3 reps. The second team defense got 2 reps, and the third string got 1 rep, and that's how.
Just 1 rep.
Just one.
There's a lot on the line.
Dude, I would come off. I'm not lying. I would come off practice, and I wouldn't even shower. That's how clean I was. I had no grass.
You didn't even sweat.
Nope. I was chilling for a while. You know
your
what
jersey
mean?
Was too clean.
Man, I had no grass stains.
But then on game day, Brian Logan came out, which was awesome. Yeah. Okay, I agree with you that as soon as possible, like Aaron Roderick said, and you just said, yes. But realistically, they got to let him cook for a minute.
Yeah.
So I would say no later than the 20th to me. If it takes that long, and I hope it doesn't, that you give that guy at least 10 days to be the guy, get all the first team reps, have 10 days to prep for that first game. I know it's an FCS opponent in Portland State, but the whole team has to rally around that guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it's close among the three, go with Bear Bachmeier because he's a freshman and you could ride him for a couple of years in theory. The more we go through this and there's not enough talk of, wow, Hillstead this or wow, Bourget that, it increasingly, to me, becomes Bachmeier's job to lose. It sounds like all three are making plays, and frankly, that's not good for Hillstead and Bourget.
Yeah.
Those guys need to use their experience of having played college football already and started games at other schools to where, oh, Hillstead's got the nod right now because experience, XYZ, play, his legs. Bourget fits the mold, plug and play. Like, we're not hearing that either of those two guys are making more plays than Bear. If they do not, I will not be shocked if Bear Bachmeier is the first true freshman starting quarterback in BYU history come August 30th.
You know what I like? I like that take. I don't know. So I talked to Max Hall about this a couple weeks ago, and I said, Max, my plan would be internally as a staff that if they're all equal, right, on equal footing, going into the first couple of games, because you have an opportunity to not play some good opponents, right? I was trying to be political. You're playing teams that are horrible, right?
And I wouldn't say Stanford's horrible. That's a team that if you don't show up, you could lose to. East Carolina, that's a long road trip. That's a team that beat BYU in the previous.
Those are all winnable games.
For sure.
I think East Carolina will be a tougher challenge for the travel.
Then Stanford.
Stanford, yeah.
Stanford, there's some emotion there, should it be Bear Bachmeier
right.
as well.
Yeah. So I would go into those games saying, okay, if they're all on even, you know, playing field, they have a short leash, but we won't mention this to them. Like, Max was like, yeah, you could do that, but you don't want
to. If it's Bear, it's not short. Because you're building with the freshman.
Yeah,
I don't know. To me, if it's McKay or Trayson, you give them the opportunity, but you know that you have a second and third string that were right there.
You make a good point. I was gonna say, like, anywhere else outside of BYU, no. Because you can lose your job at any moment, right? You got to win now. That's not really Kalani style or the program style, right? Like there, it takes a lot for you to, you know, get fired from losing, right? I'm just saying, in most situations, I want to win now, so I'm going to give whoever I name the starter the first couple of games to see what it's like, and then if I need to make that switch, I'll go ahead and do that, because not only are, you know, situational and team, like scrimmage, those type of reps, you know, matter, but game reps actually matter, because now the quarterback's getting hit, right? So you can't really truly see what a quarterback is going to look like and feel like when they get hit. Everybody's an All-American and a 7-on-7 All-Star champ, you know, like shout out Jake Heaps.
But when you Tristan Bourguet was a really good 7-on-7.
But when you get into the line of fire and those bullets, what type of player are you going to be?
I would argue that Bear Bachmeier will do the hitting too. This guy's, he wears 47 because he was a running back and middle linebacker until eighth grade. That's why he wears 47, which is crazy. Yeah. Brandon Doman had a similar idea to you late last week when we said, when does BYU need to name a starter?
Monday. I wouldn't wait past Monday.
Could they realistically do that? Could they figure it out by Monday? That feels fast.
Yes. You can't wait. They won't tell anybody. They'll start, you know, considering who the backup's going to be and how to manage the third string quarterback and so on and so forth. But they can't wait much past Monday of next week because there's not enough reps. You just don't have enough reps.
Now, that was referring to the Monday that we just had. 4 days ago. And so they have not named the starter internally, is my understanding. They're still splitting the reps among those three. I do wonder if they would whittle it down to two guys for a week, Brian. Or do you think they'll let all three cook and then we name the one guy?
I think the one guy. I think
with three, give them enough. Yeah, if that's the case, I think they will still go through next week.
Yep.
I don't think they've had enough time given what Aaron Roderick told us, hey, I need to give them a chance. Mm-hmm. And when you're splitting with three, which is super unique, the last time I can remember a true three-man race was back in 2007 when Max Hall, Brendan Gaskins, and Cade Cooper battled in spring. Max was named the starter out of spring. Brendan stayed on the squad. He was the backup. And then Cade Cooper transferred after that. This is unique. Obviously, when you have a starting quarterback leave in July, you have to do something unique given that situation. So we'll see when they name him. I say no later than the 20th. Obviously, earlier is better, but no later than that.
I would do it to two, right? And then see what that...
They're getting more reps.
That's why
I present that idea.
But also from a mental standpoint, I went like... Does that turn on the intensity that much more, right? Because now I had this idea. I'm one step closer to the goal as far as becoming a starter. So am I going to take everything, my preparation, you know, my hard work, my skill? Am I going to take my game to that next level that's going to separate me? I don't know. Sometimes players and athletes are motivated in that way. more importantly, it's getting more of those reps, man. Just those situational type reps. Then you also have to understand that when you get those reps, you have a better feel for your receivers and the chemistry. So right now, because they may not get those reps based off of where they're at, they got to stay after practice and get those reps. But when you do that to try to get on the same page and grow that chemistry, you're doing it against air. Because most corners are like, man, I'm going.
And this just in, Maury Bamba greater than air. Evan Johnson, Trey Alexander, Jaden Dunlap, Jonathan Cabana. These guys are all better than Aaron.
Right.
You need to actually go against a pass rush.
Yeah,
you need to feel the pressure of that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. All right, so topic number two, regression to the mean in a bad way. This is by ESPN. They came out with a couple of different tiers and have BYU in tier eight, which is...
Tier eight?
In a bad way.
What?
And when you look at some of the close wins that BYU had, you know, they end up being 7-1, 6-1, and the metrics that they
4-2 in one score game.
In one score game, sorry. And what they're trying to say is in those games that they were winning,
they were lucky in that.
They were lucky, right. They were lucky. And so they're saying, well, if you don't take away that luck and they potentially lose the game. So
thank you, Captain Obvious.
So which I hate talking about this. I hate saying, oh, they were lucky. Like, were they lucky is it still?
They were lucky in some, but don't you create
were they?
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
Don't you create your own luck sometimes?
Yes, yes. I like that right there. That statement. I created this luck. I created this success, right?
Was BYU lucky to get 22 picks? Yeah, the quarterback has to throw you some balls. But you have to be in position. You have to have guys that actually catch the ball. So the question here is, what does BYU have to do to prove they haven't regressed? What's not regression? I would argue that regression would be 7-5 or fewer wins. Seven and five or worse. So if you go 8-4, given the quarterback situation, I think you maintained that was a good season. We had this quarterback. Your face says it all. You don't agree, but let me cook for a second. Given the quarterback situation in a Power 4 league, I think 8-4, especially if it's a freshman, if it is Bear Bachmeyer, or it's a new guy in McKay or Trayson. McKay is a redshirt sophomore, by the way. He's a third-year guy in college. He's still young.
Yeah.
Trayson is the older guy. He's a fourth-year redshirt senior. The 8-4 probably would be good enough. 9-3 probably is like, okay, if you go 9-3, that means you're going 3-0 in league and 6-2 in the Big 12. That feels pretty aggressive for a new quarterback like that. So I'm kind of thinking, listen, if BYU goes 4-2 in one-score games again, if they get at least 22 picks, how about 7 non-offensive touchdowns? 5 of which were kick or punt returns.
That helps.
And 2 game-winning kicks from Will Farron. That all sounds pretty good. Yeah. That was some good stuff. That was some. You could argue, well, was it clutch or was it luck? It was both. If all of that doesn't happen, it's difficult to kind of go 9-3 plus. Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking 8-4, given the quarterback situation, that would be kind of, you've maintained the standard of we were a good team. We weren't upper echelon like we wanted. But let's be honest, when you lose a fifth-year senior quarterback, it's tough to replace that experience.
I would say 10 wins.
They have to do it again. They have to go 10 in the regular season.
When you think about Oklahoma State, like in the old Big 12.
AKA prior to last year.
Right.
They were winning 10 all the time.
Yeah, 9-10, right? Yeah. Like 9 was like a bad.
Everyone acts like they're this terrible program. They had one bad year.
Right.
One.
Exactly.
They were unbelievable before that.
And so to me, that like, Oklahoma State has always been a contender when it comes to championship, right?
This was Oklahoma's league. Yep. Texas acted like it was theirs. They didn't actually do that much. This was Oklahoma's league. They're gone. There's a vacuum of power. Who's it going to be?
Right.
Arizona State stepped into that spotlight.
And this is the thing with the consistency over, like, Alabama, the Georgias of the world, like these top tier programs. You are expected conference championship, 10 games, you know, double win. Seasons, and that consistency is what gets you at that place where people say, yeah, you're legit. Like, you, like, because last year, let's say they go 8-4, they'll be like, well, see, we knew they sucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just had one good year.
No one sucks since 8-4. I'm sorry.
Well, when it comes to these tiers, right, of how we see certain programs, the more consistent you
for
can
Alabama
be,
and Georgia, yes, 8-4, they had a bad year.
I mean, do we want to be the best, or we just want to show up and participate? I'm just saying,
I don't know that BYU is competing to actually, realistically, to be at the Alabama Georgia level.
I think in the future
they hope to be in that space now and then. But what you really want is to be Oklahoma State, what they were. We win 10 games. We're competing for Big 12 titles. We're going to New Year's Six occasionally. You got to get there first. You can't just suddenly show up and think you're Georgia or Alabama. You hasn't made a Big 12 title game yet.
It's only been two years.
The moment they start to get into one, you know, you get in one every couple years, every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But you're on the verge. That's the hope.
There's a regression
to the mean. Yes. If you go 7-5 this year, oh, man.
It's bad.
That'd be tough.
What I mean is.
You're breaking in a new quarterback.
There's levels to this.
For sure. Apparently, there's at least 8.
And
BYU's in tier 8 on this ESPN article.
When you watch like a BYU versus a Colorado game, right, in the bowl game. Maybe that's a bad example because they got whooped.
That was a great example. But I thought it was awesome.
But then you watch a Georgia play or an Oregon play, and you're like, wow. It's like the speed of the game is faster. Everybody is taller, bigger, stronger. Now BYU's catching up.
They're recruiting to that level.
Yes,
they're getting better.
They're catching up. And so what I'm talking about as far as that consistency in the tier that BYU is in, right? Because clearly, like you said, they're not in that tier of the Georgias and Alabamas.
Right. They hope to be one day.
Yes.
But you can't skip a step. you have to
but you still
win
have
a Big
to,
12 title you before you can say you're competing for a national title.
You still have to be the top of your tier, though. And winning right now, last year was the bar to do that, right?
Like that's It can be done. It showed us it can be done in a Power 4 league, which was great.
It was done. It was done in G5 with the Mountain West. How many 10-win seasons did?
Right, but that doesn't. That's
in that tier. In that tier.
Yes.
Right?
Now that you're now that you're here, the next step is handle success.
Yes.
But this quarterback situation has thrown this season, hopefully not, for a much bigger challenge than we anticipated.
And this, but
if Jake Retzlaff comes back, we could talk about next step, win the league.
And this is the thing, though, with this whole conversation, nobody cares about that. Nobody cares that we have a freshman quarterback, right? Because they look at teams that are on the top tier, whatever the case is. They always reload, right? Recruiting is great. You know, they're top in when it comes to that. So there is no sympathy. Like, well, they like Alabama and Georgia, these schools. I hate to say it. I'm just saying it because they're national, you know, and blue bloods, but programs. But it's like. Nobody cared that they...
Right, but it does change things. If Quinn Ewers had suddenly transferred in July last year and they did throw Arch in...
Yeah.
I mean, it's Arch Manning, they're probably not going as far as they went because he's just a little young. Maybe they do. I don't know. There's a lot of Texas fans that feel that way. It is funny that they didn't dominate the Big 12 and then they go into the SEC and they actually had a great year last year. They were awesome. It was crazy.
That's the NIL money starting to kick in.
Yeah. Well, it's even the playing field. Ask BYU men's basketball, too. Yep. Our question of the day is this. What does BYU need to do this season to prove they haven't regressed like an ESPN article projects? That's Samuel Bird on X. 9-3 in the regular season. That would be a great response to last year. It would far exceed expectations from analysts. That is interesting because, to me, there is an adjustment given new quarterback. And if it's a freshman, a true freshman, it's a different expectation and standard. But like you said, externally, no one cares. But I'm talking internally and what we realistically believe is possible, given what we saw from last year's team, the returners, a lot of depth, a lot of talent on this team. But quarterback, obviously, is a massive position.
Hey, internally.
I'm excited to watch this process, but it will be BYU's going to take its lumps with a new guy.
I'm with you.
For sure, at times.
I'm with you internally. Internally, it's... Just make it to a bowl game.
No, internally they're saying we want to win the Big 12. That's what they're saying. Yeah. No, the team believes that,
of course,
independent of who the guy is. I'm just saying, hey, I think it's going to take a sec for that guy to figure it out, perhaps.
Sure.
Maybe not in the first three games. I'm talking in league. Okay, coming up next, BYU safeties are expected to be a strength this season. Talon Alfred and Raider DeMooney preview the position and talk about why the defense is so confident right now. This is BYU Sports Nation. Safety is basically. Alfrey and DeMooney at strong. Wall presses that well at free. We feel great about
plenty of depth.
Pressure in from DeMooney. Wraps up and throws down Sanders. He bobbles it. It's loose. And it's going the other way. Taking all the way in. It's Talon Alfrey.
Yeah, when you have a safety return an onside kick for a touchdown, that's when you know that group is more than just a defensive group.
Yeah.
Talon making up for the Arizona State play where they kicked it right into him. That was cool to see him respond a couple games later. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Brian Logan. Let's hear from a couple of BYU safeties as our coverage of fall camp continues here on the show. First up, Jason Shepherd talked to Raider DeMooney about the depth at safety and the confidence that comes with continuity.
Well, I don't know if we're in the dog days of fall camp yet, but how are things feeling out there for you personally, but also on the defensive side of the football?
It's feeling good right now. I think there's a lot of confidence within the defensive side of the ball, especially myself right now. A lot of us are, this is our year three going into the defense, and so we've mastered the playbook. We're playing together, and it's just been a lot of fun. We have a lot of confidence right now, playing with confidence.
I'm sure it's not just now. I'm sure it's an evolution, and it's kind of felt this way for a while, but how much easier is it as an athlete to be able to play instinctually and not have to think so much about stuff?
That makes the game way easier. You know, when you're able to pick up on instincts, and that comes through watching film, we have great coaches who help us to learn the game, and that gives us the instincts that we have. And so when we have those instincts, we can go off of what we want to do, and it really helps the defense as a whole.
I remember when you came home from your mission, and it's weird to think that you've been here in the program and playing so long. How has your game evolved, do you think?
I think just the mental side of the game, like learning the X's and O's of the game. I think that's something that I didn't really pay attention to a lot when I was in high school. I just kind of went out and tried to go make plays. But I think that's the part of my game that has developed the most since being here, being under Coach Hill, Coach Kalani, and all the defensive staff. They've really helped me to grow in that aspect of my game.
Well, and with what Coach Hill has done overall since coming in, and obviously you have the position coaches and your position specifically, but you mentioned the word confidence a minute ago. The confidence on the defensive side of the football seems to be sky high. What do you attribute that to most?
I think it comes from preparation. You know, you're confident and you can do what you want to do when you're preparing the right way. And so the coaches get us right every single week. Leading up to fall camp, you know, we've been studying, we've been preparing this whole time to go out and make plays. And so that gives us confidence and we trust our work that's been put in.
On the defensive side of the ball in camp, how far along do you guys think you're? You have a lot of new guys, but there's still enough production back. Where were you able to kind of, you feel like you picked up right where you left off?
Yeah, I think we're picking up right where we left off. It's a good thing that a lot of the younger guys last year, like myself and Falitao and Tommy and all the younger guys, got experience. You know, we got game time, and so that experience can't be traded for anything. And so leading into this year, we're excited to just pick off from what we where we left off, and we had the opportunity to play last year. So yeah, I think we're going to be good in that aspect.
For you personally, what are expectations for you?
Be a playmaker. You know, go out, make plays, take the ball away from the offenses, be more assignment sound, and I feel like that's something that we've really worked on as a whole. And as a defensive unit, to master the playbook, and that's going to be the expectation this year, get more turnovers, get more interceptions.
How good can this safety group be? Because it's one of the teams, it's one of the you know, positions that has a lot of guys coming back with experience, and you guys performed really well last year. So how good can this safety group be?
The sky's the limit. You know, there's about anyone can start in our room right now, and so I think that's a good thing. And the depth is there, and so we've all been under the system. We all know what we have to do to be a great team. We've had a little taste of that last year, and so the sky's the limit for our room, and we're super excited.
You know, we hear iron sharpens iron, so you get to go up against the offense, and I know that, you know, the quarterback situation still needs to play itself out, but facing this offense every day, how much better does that make you guys?
It makes us so much better. You know, our offense likes to do a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, and that really makes us work and communicate with each other. And so we've been able to work that aspect of the game throughout the whole fall camp, and it really has gotten us better throughout fall camp so far up until this point.
What has been your impression of the offensive side of the football right now? We talk about production coming back. So much production on the offensive side of the ball is back. What's been your scouting report on the offense?
I think the O-line and the running backs, and as well as the quarterbacks are all looking good right now, but I think the run game is looking really good. You know, we have some big guys up front, very physical, and they're getting out and making a lot of plays. So that's something that has been impressed upon me throughout fall camp.
One of the things that everybody talks about for the team are expectations, and obviously the goal is to be in Arlington, and the goal is the college football playoff. How close do you think this team is to being able to realize those types of goals this season?
We're really close, but I think something that's important is we can't be complacent. You know, we talk about it all the time. We went 11-2 last year. We're one game away from making it to Arlington, and so that still stays in our mind. And we're hungry, we're excited, and we're going to go for it all this year.
That's a big motivating factor, what happened last year, knowing what could have been, right?
Yep, exactly. And it's almost more hurtful than going 5-7 the year before that. And so we're still thinking about it, and our plans are to be out there in Arlington come that time.
Raider, appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of fall camp, and good luck when we get to the season. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Raider DeMooney and the Cougars got a taste of the glory, and now they want to go back. They want to be in the Big 12 title game and up it. Jason also spoke with senior safety talent Alfrey, who discusses the importance of staff continuity and the trust that brings.
We were talking before the camera started rolling. It's pretty crazy to think that week one is going to be here. It's not that far off. Has the off season, if you can actually consider actually having an off season, has it gone by pretty quick?
It has gone quick, yeah. Summer was really fun. Lots of hard work put in with the strength coaches, but this is where the real fun starts. It's football season, and yeah, we're excited to get playing games, and it's been fun having the pads on with the teammates, and because, you know, some are just running and lifting, so it's fun to have the pads on and be able to hit and play football. So
a lot of focus is put on, and rightfully so, fall camp, because that's when things become official. But you mentioned, you know, the offseason and the player-run practices. How much of that sets up success, not just for fall camp, but when the season starts?
Yeah, I think Kalani's done a great job, you know, hiring the coaches he has for the strength program, and Coach Phyllis and his staff do a great job instilling a sense of urgency and discipline. There's, you know, a system they have of, you know, holding us accountable during the summer, where, you know, points are rewarded for performing well. You get dock points if you don't, you know, hold the standard that BYU is known for, like just like small details. So that's helped us a lot preparing for the season, to know that all the details matter and everything matters. That's what we talked about today in our team meeting, Kalani. Everything matters. And even the summer training, all the details, and lead us to on the field, every detail on the play, especially, you know, offense, defense, there's, you know, have to execute everything you properly for it to work. And so if you do that, things work great and we win a lot of games. So
even though there are new players, whether they be freshmen coming in or transfer players coming in, you have a lot of continuity on the defensive side of the football with coaches, with Coach Hill and position coaches. How much does that continuity help you guys in fall camp to be able to hit the ground running?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think just having that continuity is important because you have to trust each other on the field. For defense, there's 11 guys, and you all have to do your job for it to work. And Coach Hill, you know, stresses that a lot. You got to do your 1-11th and everything work out. If you're supposed to set the edge, you have to set the edge so the other players can trust you to come flying through and make the tackle. If you're supposed to, you know, spill and make the ball bounce, and you have to do that so the other person behind you knows exactly where to fit. So the continuity is important, and trust. And obviously we spent a lot of time together, you know, went through hard things in the summer together. We got, you know, team activities that bring us closer together. So we do a lot of work to kind of build that continuity and trust, and it shows on the field. So
there are a lot of national media after what you guys accomplished last year with the 11 wins and being so close and should have gone to the college football playoff. There are a lot of people that are now doubting BYU. How much of a motivating factor is that for you guys?
Yeah, you know, we try, it's there, but we don't really listen too much to the outside noise. If we did last year, then we wouldn't have performed the way we did. So, yeah, we work hard to kind of tune it out, and we know what we can do, and we try to hold ourselves to a higher standard than anyone else ever holds us to. So, yeah, it's there, but like I said, we kind of have our own standard, own expectations, and kind of internally motivated instead of externally motivated.
You're one of the vets on this squad. You've been here. You've seen a lot of football. How has the defense evolved during your time here?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, a couple years ago when Coach Hill came, things changed drastically. And the sense, just a new coach, new system, new scheme, new philosophy of making plays and being aggressive. So for especially the safety group, instead of just being protectors, we're more of trying to be involved in the plays and being playmakers. And you know, freshman year, I was, you know, just back there kind of helping when I needed to. And now it's, no, I expect you to go make plays and help the team win. So that's I think that's a major difference. But yeah, it's been fun, the change, and Coach Hill's been great for BYU.
The safety group is stacked. I was talking with Raider, and he's like, we got five guys that could legitimately start. What's it like to be part of a position group like that with the talent at the level that it is?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's a good competition, especially like you talked about fall camp being important. And there's five, six of us trying to compete for, you know, two spots on the field at a time. So iron sharpens iron, and we're there every day. You know, we're doing extra to watch film and prepare ourselves for practice so we can, you know, make those plays and stand out. And and obviously we, you know, learn from everyone's mistakes, and we all grow together, and, you know, we help each other out. We're not, you know, we're all friends, and we all try to, the ultimate goal is to have BYU win. So the best two players will play, and we'll help BYU win games.
On a personal note, you have a brother now on the team. Your brother's a freshman linebacker, right?
Right.
All right. What's it like to have your brother on the team with you?
Yeah, it's been really fun. It's in high school, I was a senior, he was a freshman, so he wasn't quite, you know, big enough that age to play varsity, but like, we were around each other. But now it's like, it doesn't matter. He's actually bigger than me now, but he plays linebacker, so he has to be. But so it's been fun, you know, lifting together, working out together, going to meals together, just kind of talking football together, going through plays, helping him out, helping him learn the defense. It's one of the benefits, you know, I was been here for a few years now and can know what Coach Hill wants. And I've been around, you know, even the linebacker group, just being part of the defense and know what Coach N is looking for and able to help Berkeley kind of understand and learn and make sure he's, you know, doing everything he needs to be successful here. So, I mean, yeah, it's been fun. It's been awesome.
Look, brothers are always going to be close. Being able to have these shared experiences, whether high school and, you know, and now here at BYU, even though it's just beginning, how much does that strengthen that brother bond?
Yeah, it strengthens it a lot. Yeah, like anytime you spend time together with anyone, the more time, like, you know, the closer you'll grow and the more experiences you have together. So, like, yeah, it's been fun. We've grown closer. Kind of had a weird phase where I was on my mission. I got back, and then he left on his mission. So it was like 4 or 5 years we're kind of like not.
Had to get reacquainted a little bit?
We just picked up where we left off. We're, you know, we were good. But, yeah, no, it's been fun to actually be around each other more. And, we're closer than ever, so.
All right, well, appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of fall camp, and good luck when the season starts. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Count out for in that mustache. We appreciate the time.
If you miss any of our fall camp interviews, Deep Blues or more, you can find them at BYUSN.com.
When we come back, how many Cougars are playing this weekend? In the NFL preseason, headlines are next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He is Brian. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football fall camp is still underway. Tomorrow, the Cougars will hold their first full pad scrimmage of fall camp. BYU TV will continue to provide coverage of fall camp leading up to the season opener against Portland State.
We got you, baby. Women's soccer has its second and final exhibition game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN+, against Utah Tech. We saw a bunch of goals and some great soccer against Southern Utah earlier in the week.
Justin Sterner pitched 1.1 innings.
One and a third
yesterday for the A's. He had 2 strikeouts and allowed no runs or hits in the A's 6-0 win against the Nationals.
Blake Freeland and the Colts took on Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens, where Baltimore won 24-16. Van Noy did not play. That's when you know you're really super good in the starter. Yep. Freeland battling for starter minutes. He played some offensive tackle. Caleb Etienne got some snaps last night on the offensive line, playing for the Bengals against the Eagles. The champs won 34-27. Tonight, Brady Christensen and the Panthers take on the Browns, 7 Eastern. Tomorrow, Keaton Slovis and the Texans take on Tyler Batty and the Vikings at 4 Eastern. Darius Lassiter and the Jaguars take on the Steelers at 7 Eastern. Jacob Robinson doing good work with the Niners.
Let's go.
Face off with the Broncos at 8:30 Eastern. And Sunday, Zach Wilson and the Dolphins take on the Bears at 1 Eastern. We could see a lot of Zach in that game.
I forgot about Zach.
How could you?
I don't know. My bad.
How
Sorry,
dare Zach. You?
My bad. The NFL released their latest addition to the top 100 players of 2024. Puka Nacua came in at number 41 overall. He had 79 receptions, 990 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 11 games played last season.
That was in 11 games.
But, yeah, imagine if you...
If he had played 6 more games, he'd have 1,500 yards. Like he did his
You think he,
his,
you think he probably wins the Rookie of the Year? Is it?
Well, that was the second year.
Well, I'm saying, oh, you're right.
That was the second year. Time goes by quickly.
Hey, that's the CTE talking. That's
coming up. The newest Deep Blue featuring soccer player Hallie Dixon, who has overcome serious back injuries to play for the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jeremy Jordan alongside Brian Logan. Hallie Dixon was born to play soccer, and from an early age, her future in the sport looked bright. But a tumor on her spine threatened to take that away multiple times. Yet through faith and determination, Dixon is looking to make another comeback to the sport she loves.
Curlman Hook tries to win it back and does offer ricochet to Hallie Dixon. Dixon down the spine. Dixon veering to her right. Dixon gives it a ride and scores a banger! Bar down for Hallie Dixon. It's 2-0, and what a shot and score!
Hallie's story starts right after she was born. She was 4 months old, and we were getting her ready for bed one night and noticed this little tiny blue dot on her back.
I was diagnosed with a tumor that was connected to my spine and a disease called tethered cord syndrome.
Starting as early as 9 months old, we started with the first surgery.
The doctors told my parents, like, yeah, she can live a normal life. She'll be able to walk. She'll be able to play sports. And if she ever has any of these issues of tingling, numbness, issues with her bladder, like, come back because something could be wrong. So there was always a chance that there was something that was going to happen. But as far as I knew, as I fell in love with soccer and fell in love with sports, that didn't really matter to me.
When she was 13 years old, she had been playing top of her game, called up to a national team camp, was doing really well.
And I went up for a header in a game, and I broke my back in two places, the same spot where the tumor was.
And that just sidelined her, because that was a long recovery, a painful surgery for a 13-year-old to go through. And I think she was struggling. She was in the hospital for probably a week, and watching her there was hard.
I was just truly sad. And something I'd loved had been stripped away from me, and that hurt more than my back did, and hurt more than my legs did. And that was really hard for me to comprehend.
Her neurosurgeon said to her, because we asked him, what's the future here? And he said, well, full transparency, only 40% of the kids that go through this type of surgery ever really come back to the sport. And even go beyond that. I mean, it's one thing just to come back and play, but if you're gonna take it to a college level or take it to a professional level, the chances are pretty small.
By a miracle, again, I was able to recover. And a year and a half later, I played in my first game back, and it was great. And I was super happy, and I never really felt 100%, but 85% was good enough for me.
It was like 12:01. When college coaches could reach out. I mean, there was a ton. She could go play anywhere. And, you know, deep down, she's like, I want to be at BYU.
Hi, I'm Hallie Dixon, and I go to Carlsbad High School, and I'll be playing soccer at Brigham Young University. Go Cougs!
About 2 months after I committed, verbally committed, I started just losing the feeling in my legs. And during games, I'd have, like, back spasms all the time. They would just drop me to the floor like that.
It's really hard to be in your office and get a phone call from your junior in high school telling you that she's lost feeling to her legs again. Those are really scary thoughts as a mom, because you think, oh my gosh, what next? You know, what's gonna happen?
Back to the doctor we went, and they found out my tumor had reattached to my spine and regrew. And there I was getting another spine surgery, my third one and my second one in 3 years.
You just think, why? Why does she have to keep going through all this pain? Seeing her in hospital beds crying and asking God to take her because she can't deal with it because it's so painful. It's hard to watch. But if there's one thing that I've learned from her is you don't tell her no, because she'll just come back stronger every single time.
By another miracle, they were able to get most of the tumor out. There was like a 1% chance that it was ever gonna regrow and cause problems. And so that was good enough for me.
She battles so much more than the opposite player on the field. Like, she is fighting to stay healthy and be fit. And she's coming off major surgeries where literally she couldn't walk. And then weeks, if not months down the road, she's kicking a soccer ball.
This last year, I had worked super hard all summer, and I was like, this is my year. Like, I'm gonna be healthy, I'm gonna be happy, this is my breakout year. Like, I'm so excited. I've been waiting for so long to play here. Unfortunately, I again started to lose the feeling in my legs, and it was so scary, because this time I knew exactly. I was like, yeah, something's wrong, and it's bad.
But yet she was still out there battling, giving her best, and her best was good enough to become a starter on the BYU soccer team this last year. And, you know, I could tell that she wasn't at her best, but at the same time, her effort was through the roof.
We talked to the surgeon, and he said, you know, Hallie said, I think it's time. We need to go in and operate again.
I had my surgery scheduled, and we were playing Boise State. I knew that it was probably going to be my last game before my surgery. I always go to the temple, either the day before or maybe the morning of a game, and I actually didn't even go inside. I just went and sat outside of the Provo City Center temple. I brought my journal, and I just wrote, like, everything that I wanted to do that night.
Her prayer was, could something just happen in that game that would just allow her something to hang on to, because she knew that she was done for the season. She knew that after that night, it was over.
I was like, I'm shocked that she's actually playing. Like, she could barely get out of bed this morning, let alone, like, she's running around the field now. This is crazy.
All the pain was gone, and it was just, like, the most surreal feeling, and I just was on fire.
I think in total, she had about 15 minutes of gameplay, but that 15 minutes was like she was being carried.
Every time I got the ball, I was beating someone, going 1v1, getting shots off, and that's not something I'd been doing all season, but that's how I feel I am as a player. And so being able to do that just gave me like this immense amount of confidence, and I was like, okay, like, this is so fun, I'm having so much fun. The ball got up to Hallie, and I remember she took that touch.
Dixon gives it a ride, and scores a banger!
Just the crowd erupted, and her teammates embraced her, and we were going crazy.
I saw her just start pointing up to heaven as her teammates surrounded her, and I thought, you know, very few people in the stands know the story about what's going on with that young lady out there. But in that moment, she was just giving all glory to God.
That goal meant everything to me, and it was my first goal I've ever scored in a BYU jersey. Then again, it wasn't just a goal, it was literally a direct answer to prayer and a testament that God knew me and he was aware of me and that I was gonna be okay. And that going into surgery in a week, like, I had this to hold on to and proof to me that I was a good soccer player and I am a good soccer player, but beyond that, like, I'm a daughter of God and he loves me so much. Hallie's like, yeah, I'm gonna be okay and we're gonna be okay and God has a plan for me. And so watching her through that and then getting the surgery and getting back to recovery and getting back to things, and now she's playing great, and that persistent faith is there and always will be with her.
The surgeries and that is one thing, but that's not Hallie, right? Hallie is this fun-loving girl that's gonna try to make everyone feel like she's her best friend. Her injuries are just a little piece of their story, but it's more about where she's going in life and what she wants to achieve and how she goes about it.
You take soccer away, you have Hallie. It's not her identity, because her identity is this child of God, this daughter of God, and you can see she's just amplifying that.
She's been through so much in her life and therefore I think is able to give people hope that regardless of what you're going through in life, there is always, always, always going to be light at the end of the tunnel and you're always going to come out stronger.
I think she was just given a gift long before any of us were here, that she could help lighten the load of others around them, and that she would be able to just bring joy to the world.
I'm healed, and I'm not saying that doesn't mean I couldn't have another injury, but I feel like everything I've been through to this point today, I'm healed, and I'm just so excited about what the future brings. With God and with faith on your side, you can do anything you want to do.
Wow, what a story.
You can watch more of Hallie and the BYU soccer team tomorrow night as they host Utah Tech at 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain on ESPN+.
What an incredible story. Who gets today's Elite Voice of the Day in Rise and Shadow? That's coming up after the break as BYU Sports Nation continues.
Dennis Pitta.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps, or listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review the show.
Our question of the day is this: what does BYU need to do this season to prove they haven't regressed like an ESPN article projects? The response, our Elite Voice of the Day to that, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, is from at Jim Roberts MN on X. To paraphrase the immortal words of Coach Yost, remember the times, mm-hmm. Run it up, Kalani. Leave no doubt. Kalani does not run it like up. That, he is Mr. Sportsmanship. He does not want that. I wish sometimes BYU would run it up. But if it's before the middle of the fourth quarter, I say it's all fair game.
Right? Yeah, running up. Because, I mean, that could potentially hurt you when it comes to how the rankings are, right?
Margin of victory.
Margin of victory. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet he is just a kind soul. So yeah. He balances those two. Today's Rise and Shadow is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Good luck to all of the one percenters out there, undrafted free agents this weekend as they are competing in their preseason games and leave it all on the field, man.
Tyler Batty doing work with the Vikings. Jacob Robinson having a great camp with the Niners. I think several of these guys have a real shot to make the roster. And we're hoping at least practice squad, of course, but some perhaps the 53.
Jacob does especially because he's making plays, but there's some injuries in the Niner camp. And when you have the opportunity and you take advantage of your skill set.
What I don't need is another Cougar on the Niners, though. I love Jacob. I hope it works out for him. I don't want to. Don't want to root against the team they're on. I'll root for Fred and Jacob, I suppose. Our thanks to today's guests, Talon Alfrey, Raider DeMooney, Sardar Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com. And Dennis, I will always have time for you.
Get out of here. For Brian, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Jenny Marshall. Go Cougs. Have a great weekend.